things great Aunt Cheryl wanted you to have. Harper did her best not to look smug as she took the good-sized box from her daughter. What is it? Bunny demanded.
I have no idea.
She turned to Becca. You are not allowed to move that car 1 inch until it's insured. Understood?
I swear, Mom. I won't drive it until you say it's okay.
She continued to dance around the car, her phone in hand, taking pictures from every angle. Harper sighed, then went inside. Her mother followed. She set the box on the kitchen table and opened it. Inside were several smaller boxes, including one that got her heart beating faster. Bunny moved closer.
Is that an Hermes Birkin bag?
Yes, it is. Not black. Great Aunt Cheryl would never waste her time with a boring black bag. No, this one was orange. Harper read the card inside. It's a Togo Birkin bag, she said, wondering if she sounded smug, and still in beautiful condition. Label-conscious Bunny looked as if she'd eaten a lemon.
That's ridiculous. You have nothing to wear with that.
I know. Even so, I plan to use it with everything. She opened the smaller box and found three blue boxes with the magical phrase Tiffany and Company on top. Her heart pounded a little faster. The first box contained a peach enamel and diamond bracelet. Bunny moved close and gasped.
That's a Schlumberger bangle.
Do you know what those cost?
I have no idea.
A lot.
The second box had a seahorse brooch, also a Schlumberger, according to a miffed Bunny. The last box revealed simple diamond studs, each the size of an M&M candy. While Bunny fingered the pin, Harper slipped on the bangle. It was heavy and unyielding and looked fabulous. She decided to wait on the earrings until she could see herself in a mirror. She picked up the last box. It was unmarked and flat. Inside were dozens of photographs, mostly of Great Aunt Cheryl. They ranged from her nursing days during World War II to just a few years ago. Harper's chest tightened as she looked through them. The bag and the jewelry were amazing, but these were the best gift of all. She would sort through them and make an album, she thought. Something special that... She found a handwritten note at the bottom of the box. Dear Harper, we all knew this day would come, and here it is. I want you to have these things because I have always loved you. Remember to be brave, strong, and happy. That's what life is all about. And don't you dare waste a second putting the old pictures in an album. You have better things to do with your time. Harper laughed, then felt her eyes burn with tears.
What did she say?
Bunny demanded, snatching the letter from her. She scanned the words, then handed the sheet back.
That car is going to be a problem.
I don't care. I'm letting her keep it.
Because that was what Great Aunt Cheryl would have wanted.
I'm nearly 42, Harper said as she sat on the sofa in Stacy's living room. When am I going to stop being manipulated by Mom?
Stacy wasn't sure her sister wanted an answer, but decided to provide one anyway.
When you stop caring about what she thinks of you?
You care, but you don't let it interfere with your life. Not that I wouldn't have let Becca keep the car, but I would have at least thought about it a little longer. Instead, I reacted to Mom being bitchy about what Great Aunt Cheryl left me. I can't figure out if every family is twisted, or just ours.
I'm sure it's all of them.
Harper laughed. I hope you're right. Okay, how's it going with Ashton?
Fine. He's settling in nicely. It's only been 2 days, but we have a routine. He has 2 classes to finish, and he's going to get a part-time job.
Her sister nodded. Didn't you say he'd been in foster care or living with a friend or something before he moved here?
Foster care. Kit's sister wouldn't let him live with us, so we had to wait until he was 18 and aged out of the system. We flew him out the next day.
Does he have enough stuff?
What do you mean?
Harper shrugged. I don't know much about foster families. On TV, they're usually awful. Does he have clothes and shoes and whatever else he needs?
I asked, and he said he was fine.
Harper's expression turned pitying.
And you believed him? He has no reason to lie to me.
Her sister stood. Pride, Stacy. Guilt, shame. He's a kid.
He's 18.
He's a kid. Harper got up suddenly and walked down the hall before tapping on Ashton's half-open door.
Come in.
She went inside. Stacy followed, not sure what she was going to do.
Hey, Ashton.
I'm about to pry, so brace yourself.
Can I see your suitcase? He glanced from Harper to Stacy, then walked over to his closet and pulled out his ratty suitcase. As Stacy stared at it, she realized it was ridiculously small, and it had contained everything he had in the world. She glanced at the battered computer on his desk, a computer that had to be at least 4 years old. The phrase, "her heart sank," suddenly made too much sense.
"Do you have paper?"
Harper asked. He looked more intrigued than confused as he opened a desk drawer and pulled out a pad of paper. "Stacy got me a bunch of school supplies, so I'm good."
"Uh-huh."
Harper sat on the chair and started writing. "Underwear? Socks." She paused to glance at his feet. "Athletic shoes, sandals, jeans, shorts, T-shirts.
Do you have a lightweight jacket?
June can be cool and foggy by the beach." Ashton tensed. "I'm good. I don't need anything."
"So that's a no," she continued writing. "Deodorant, sunscreen." She glanced at his face. "Razors or an electric shaver?"
"I use disposable razors."
Harper turned to Stacy. "Let's get him one of those nice shavers all the kids love. He can go scruffy and be irresistible to the girls."
Ashton flushed. "On Harper, I'm fine."
"Just Harper, please. And don't even try.
I can be so bossy. I get it from my mother." She put down her pen.
"I'm thinking the mall first. Old Navy and Macy's for clothes, then Target for toiletries."
She grinned. "I haven't been shopping for a while, so I'm excited. Let's go."
Ashton looked more uncomfortable than pleased. Stacy was right there with him. How could she not have noticed he needed pretty much everything? And why hadn't he told her when she asked if he was all right?
Chapter 10. One trip to the mall later, Ashton had everything a man his age could possibly need to get him through the summer and into the fall. Harper had been her usual, thorough, maternal self. The shopping had gone quickly and easily, and within a few minutes of them arriving at the first store, Ashton had been joking around with her and seemed at ease. Stacy knew that she should be grateful to her sister for her help, and she was. Her internal discomfort came more from a gnawing sense of inadequacy. How had Harper known Ashton hadn't been forthcoming about his needs? How had she been able to figure out the situation so quickly, and how had she known what to buy him? It wasn't as if she had male children. Once again she heard her mother's words in her head, the ones telling her she wasn't normal. She glanced at the calendar counting up to the birth and tried to tell herself everything would be fine. The problem was, she knew it wouldn't be fine at all. It would be a disaster. She was never meant to be a mother. She'd tried to tell Kit that, explaining how she loved her work so much and she'd never felt the need to be like everyone else. But he'd only laughed and kissed her. Then he'd taken her to bed, where she could experience normal in the best way possible. Kit would be a good father, she thought, as she brewed herbal tea. Maybe that would be enough. He would be the main parent, and she would be little more than a shadow figure. She could accept not being important in her daughter's life. What terrified her was somehow hurting Jewel the way she'd been hurt as a child. Ashton walked into the kitchen. She pointed to the teapot. "I'm making tea. It's not the best drink in the world, but it's not awful." He flashed her a smile.
"Now I have to try some."
"Harper brought over cookies. My mother made them."
He got a mug from the cupboard and joined her at the counter. "I remember your mother's cookies. I'm all in."
He would probably inhale the entire plate of them before she had a chance to finish one, but that was okay. She enjoyed having Ashton around. They were friends, or so she'd thought. She waited until they were seated at the kitchen table, then forced herself to look at him. "Why didn't you tell me you needed clothes and toiletries?" "I asked because I was concerned. It wasn't an empty question, Ashton. You live here now. We want you to be comfortable."
He flushed. "I didn't want to be a bother. Stacy, you guys have taken me in. You are paying for a lot of my college. That's more than anyone has ever done for me. I don't need new clothes or anything else."
"Yes, you do."
She thought about his ancient computer, then decided this wasn't the time to bring that up.
"We want you to have what you need. We're very fortunate financially."
She hesitated, not completely sure how she could discuss without crossing the invisible and ever-moving lines of social correctness. If only Kit were here, he would know what to say.
"I'm going to get a job," Ashton told her.
Then I can pay for more things. She gripped her mug. It's not about money. It's about taking care of you. We want to take care of you. We want you to feel safe here and welcome.
He blinked several times, then cleared his throat.
Thanks. I do feel that.
Good. If you need something, tell me. I'm not like my sister. I'm never going to be able to guess what's going on.
You and Harper are really different, huh?
I know. She's so maternal. She always knows the right thing to say or bake or how to decorate. She takes after our mom.
He reached for one of the cookies.
Your mom sure can bake.
She's a big believer in home and family being the most important things in the world. Everything else takes a distant second.
She looked at him.
Do you know about my Grandpa Ray?
No. Who is he?
In the 1960s, 13 men walked on the moon. Graham Ray was one of them. He was a fighter pilot and an astronaut.
No way. Why didn't I know this?
I have no idea. I thought I'd told you, but maybe not.
She sipped her tea.
Back then, being an astronaut was like being...
She searched for an analogy.
Being in a boy band? He offered with a grin.
Maybe. Grandpa Ray was famous, as was his family. When he got back from the moon, they all went on a world tour.
Cool.
I think so, but my mom hated it. She was only 15 and thought her dad should stay home with her. The space program is demanding, and he'd missed birthdays and Christmases all her life, and she never got over it.
She reached for a frosted sugar cookie.
Psychology is not my area of expertise, but from what I can piece together, Bunny decided that she was going to only focus on family, that nothing else mattered. She passed her entire skill set on to my sister, but when it came to me, I was a disaster.
You took after Grandpa Ray.
I did. He was wonderful. When the family went to Florida, they all went to Disney World, but I went to Cape Canaveral to see the space program with my grandfather. Everyone knew him and respected him.
She smiled at the memories.
They treated him like visiting royalty. I got to be a part of that. He was always bragging about how smart I was. He was the one who paid for my college. He wanted me to study astrophysics, but when I went into medical research, he teased that it was so I could help him live forever.
You miss him.
I do. He was a great man. It's just, as far as my mother's concerned, being like him isn't a good thing. Like I said, I'm not like Harper, so there's no way I can anticipate what's wrong or guess when you need something.
I promise to tell you when I'm out of socks.
Thank you. They looked at each other, then away. Stacy had the sense she was missing something vital.
Did Ashton want her to hug him?
Did they have that kind of relationship?
Harper would know, she thought with a sigh.
Harper would be the perfect surrogate mother, just like she'd been the perfect parent to Becca, while Stacy was unclear on what it meant to have a baby beyond being the vessel. Harper ran the numbers one more time. One of the advantages of all her virtual assistant training was she could put together a spreadsheet on a moment's notice. The disadvantage was she could no longer hide from the sad reality that was her monthly budget. Kathy's stupid gift bags had cost her. Not only had the supplies turned out to be more than she'd expected, leaving her earning even less, but adding shopping time to the assembly time and including delivery, which Kathy had insisted on at the last minute, had made the project take much longer than she'd estimated. She had realized all of $1.25 an hour. All told, it had taken her nearly 27 hours. That was almost half a week's work. She could have spent the time doing something that actually paid, like those calligraphy name cards. That was the frustrating part. She was short on money, but she had plenty of work, which meant she was doing something seriously wrong. She had to get smarter about her business, and she had to figure out a way to get the money to pay for Becca's car insurance. She'd spent a couple of hours on eBay, looking at Schlumberger's pieces for sale. Either the pin or the bangle would be enough to bail her out of her current financial mess. But then what? She would have given up something precious from Great Aunt Cheryl all because she was an idiot. Harper glanced at the clock, then picked up her phone and pressed a few buttons to connect with Terrence's private line at work. She knew when he took his lunch. With luck, he would pick up, rather than let the call go through to,
"Hello?"
"It's Harper," she said, not assuming that after nearly 16 years of marriage, he would still remember the sound of her voice.
"Hello, Harper. How is everything?"
He always sounded so calm and rational when they spoke, not the least bit concerned that she might get emotional or accuse him of things. He'd always been like that, totally in control of his feelings.
He'd been calm when he'd proposed, unruffled when she'd told him she was pregnant, serene when he'd confessed to his affair, and deadpan when he'd told her he was leaving and that he wanted a divorce. The most agitated she'd ever seen him had been when he'd been in the middle of the allergy attack from being in the same car with three dogs. Even that had been the result of a medical emergency rather than actual emotion.
"Did you want to mention the car your aunt left Becca?" she asked, knowing neither of them really cared about small talk.
"Damn, I'm sorry. I forgot to tell you, didn't I? I guess I wasn't thinking about anything that day except trying to breathe. Did it arrive?"
"It did."
"Good. At least you don't have to worry about buying her a car now."
"Really? Because that would only be her responsibility?" She didn't know how he did it, but Terrence had an uncanny ability to piss her off. Before we would have to deal with any car purchase, she would need to get her license, wouldn't she? "Terrence, you're supposed to be helping her get her hours in."
"I know. I've explained to her that I've been busy. Why aren't you doing it?"
"Because I'm doing everything else when it comes to our daughter. She asked you, Terrence. Becca rarely asks you for anything. Can't you at least get off your ass and show up every now and then? You're supposed to see her every other weekend."
"I'm the one who drove to Grass Valley with her. That was 4 days together."
"Oh, wow, you're right. Then your parenting responsibilities are done for the year."
"Fine, you're right. I'll get some times on my calendar."
He was going to put his daughter on his calendar. Wasn't that special? She nearly said that out loud, but figured she'd already gone far enough with her sarcasm for one conversation. "You also need to pay for half the insurance," she said.
"Of course. Get me an invoice and I'll send a check."
Because that was how Terrence rolled. God forbid he should simply pay for something. Nope, he needed to be billed. He'd actually had the balls to ask her once whether if he paid the bill in 10 days, he would get a discount. She'd hung up on him because, unlike her ex-husband, she did run on emotion. "I'll get an email out to you today."
"Thank you. Anything else?"
Anything else? After all this time and having a child together, was there really nothing they could talk about? She knew the marriage was over, and after the shock of trying to figure out how to make it on her own, she had to say she wasn't sorry. They hadn't been happy together for years. But still, wouldn't it be nice if he had a few regrets? "No, that's all. Goodbye, Terrence."
"Goodbye, Harper."
Becca supposed she should be annoyed by a duty visit to a relative she'd never met, but to be honest, she was kind of intrigued by the thought of meeting her Uncle Kit's nephew. Becca's dad was an only child, and Aunt Stacy hadn't had her baby yet, so not only didn't Becca have siblings, there weren't any cousins either, unless Ashton counted. She wasn't sure. Normally, on a half-day of school, she and Jordan would have made plans, but Becca was doing her best to avoid her and their usual group of friends, mostly so she didn't have to see Nathan. She had no idea what to do about him or who to tell. It wasn't as if he'd done anything bad, right? He hadn't hurt her or forced her. He'd just suggested. Thinking about that made her stomach hurt, so she concentrated on how well Jazz walked beside her. The Doberman kept close and was alert, but never barked or chased other dogs. They turned onto Stacy's street. Becca tried to remember how many times Ashton had been to visit. 2, maybe, or 3. Bunny had taken her and her mom to Hawaii the first time he'd come to see his aunt and uncle. It had been right after the divorce, and the trip was supposed to make everyone feel better. It hadn't worked. The second time Ashton had visited, she'd been away with her sophomore government class. They'd gone to Sacramento to study state government. It had been interesting, but kind of lame, too. So every time he'd been around, she'd been gone, until now. She knew he was 18 and going to MIT in the fall. She imagined some short, glasses-wearing nerdy guy who stuttered or only talked about quasars. She smiled at the thought, then told herself she would deal because he was family. She climbed the couple of steps to the porch and knocked on the front door. When it opened, she felt her jaw drop and her skin flush. For a second, her vision reduced to a pinpoint before expanding to include the most beautiful boy she'd ever seen in her life. He was tall, maybe 6 feet, with hazel gray eyes. His skin was pale, his hair shaggy. He wore jeans and a t-shirt and athletic shoes. Nothing out of the ordinary, yet he looked like he could be doing a photo shoot for 17 Magazine or GQ. He smiled.
"Hi. You must be Becca. Nice to finally meet you. I'm Ashton.
She couldn't speak, mostly because she couldn't breathe. Why hadn't someone warned her? Why hadn't her mother or aunt casually mentioned that Ashton was incredibly hot, and then she might want to take an extra 30 seconds with her appearance?
As it was, she'd pulled her hair back in a ponytail, hadn't even put on lip gloss, and she was pretty sure her T-shirt had a stain on the front.
Bay nosed past Ashton to greet Jazz. Becca released the leash, giving Jazz permission to race into the house with her friend. Stacy appeared next to Ashton.
"Hello, Becca. I'm glad you made it before I have to leave for my doctor's appointment."
She sighed. "Despite my excellent health, regular checkups are required so we can keep track of the baby's growth."
Becca managed to step past Ashton into the house.
"How are you feeling?"
Because talking about her aunt's pregnancy seemed to be the only topic she could think of while in the presence of such an unexpected man.
"I'm perfectly fine. Thank you for asking. You haven't met Ashton before, have you? I think there were timing issues on his previous visits. As I told you, he's with us until he leaves for MIT. I'm hoping you two will be friends."
She smiled. "After all, you have me in common." As jokes went, it was pretty lame, but Aunt Stacy tried, so Becca laughed, as did Ashton. Stacy collected her handbag.
"I'll be back later this afternoon. What are you two going to do?"
"Kiss," Becca thought dreamily.
It would be so great if Ashton kissed her, on the lips, and as if he really meant it.
Soft at first, but then with more intensity as he was swept away by...
"I thought we'd take the dogs for a walk," he said, "on the boardwalk."
"Don't forget poop bags," Stacy said as she headed for the garage. "Have fun."
"Because nothing says a good time like carrying around dog poop," Becca said before she could stop herself.
Ashton chuckled. "If your dog is anything like Stacy's, we need to bring a couple of bags."
"I know, right?"
There was a moment of awkward silence, then he held out his hand.
"I think our introduction got interrupted. I'm Ashton."
She braced herself before shaking hands with him. Yep, there it was. Warm boy skin and tingles.
"Becca, nice to meet you."
He opened the door on a small cabinet and pulled out a leash.
"Shall we?"
The afternoon was warm and sunny, but not as hot as it would be in the summer. Becca was aware of him next to her. Every now and then their arms brushed. The light contact messed with her head and made it difficult to think of anything to say.
"Aunt Stacy said you moved here from Tennessee."
"I did. My mom's in rehab, and I ran out of places to stay, so I got stuck in foster care. I aged out when I turned 18, which was a good thing. Kit and Stacy had been trying to get me out to live with them for a while, but Mom kept saying no."
The info dump left Becca more speechless than before, but this time it had nothing to do with how cute he was. Instead, she had to process the information. No one she knew ever said anything that honest, not right away. Even if they did, she had no experience with foster care or rehab or any of that. Mischief Bay was a stupid little town where the worst thing that happened was your parents divorced, and everyone forgot about you. But when compared with what Ashton had been through, how could that possibly matter?
"I'm sorry," she managed.
"It's okay." He glanced at her. "I didn't know how much Stacy had told you already. I didn't mean to dump all that on you."
"She probably explained everything to my mom, and my mom didn't want to upset me or something. She thinks I'm still 9.
"That's not a bad thing, Becca. Your mom cares about you. That's nice."
What was she supposed to say to that? Of course her mom cared about her. That was what moms did. They loved so much they were annoying. Only Ashton's mother was in rehab, and she hadn't wanted Ashton to live with his uncle, even if that was better for him. So maybe for him, a nice mom was something special. The concrete boardwalk cut through the sand, running parallel to the ocean in front of them. To the south in the distance were the high hills of Palos Verdes. To the north, the pier and the park. "That's the Pacific Ocean Park, or POP as we call it. It used to be the old Santa Monica Pier. When it was torn down, parts of it were brought here."
She paused, hoping she didn't sound too stupid. "When I was little, my mom used to take me to ride on the carousel nearly every day. It was my favorite thing."
"We should go sometime. See if it's still as good as you remember."
Was he asking her out?
No, he was just being friendly and polite. She would be a fool to read anything else into his words.
Sure, that would be great.
"Stacy said you were a junior in high school?"
"Uh-huh. And you're going to MIT in the fall.
Are you excited?
Mostly nervous, but don't tell Stacy. She's all about how great college is going to be.
From what I've heard, she was kind of too smart for high school and she left early, Becca said. I don't think she fit in very well. Something Becca was experiencing herself these days, but for different reasons. For a second, she wondered if Ashton would have an opinion on what had happened with Nathan. Maybe a guy would know what to do. Only she didn't know him well enough to ask his advice, and she was afraid the story would make her sound even younger and more inexperienced than she was. When you go to college, everyone in your class will be new, she said instead. You'll all have that in common.
That's what I try to tell myself.
He reached down to pet Bay.
How you feeling, little girl? Doing all right?
The dog licked his hand and wagged her tail. Becca glanced at her belly. She's getting really pregnant.
I know. The puppies are going to be great.
He smiled at her.
You're going to have to come over and help me socialize them so they can be adopted.
That sounds like fun. I'll bring Jazz so she can learn to be an aunt. Jazz wagged her tail at the mention of her name. Ashton stopped and looked at her.
I know you're busy with school and your friends, but if you have any free time, I'd like to hang out. Stacy and Kit are great, but they're...
Becca's heart fluttered, although she did her best to look totally normal and not as if she was going to squeal. Adults, she offered. Ashton laughed.
That's the word I was looking for.
He paused. She realized he was waiting for her to respond to what he'd said. The hanging out part. She cleared her throat and sucked in a breath. We can hang out.
Good. You can tell me about your friends and school, and if I get the job I applied for at Backyard Bounty, the daily farmer's market, I'll fill you in on the exciting world of produce stocking.
I hear there's an art to stacking apples.
Man, now I'm already feeling pressure.
Becca laughed and relaxed, just a little. Yes, Ashton was very nice to look at, but there was a real person inside, one who was funny and sweet, and nothing like gross and disgusting Nathan. And wasn't that just the best? Chapter 11 Harper made the calls she'd promised Stan the landscaper. Most of the customers had been disinterested in her apology. One had yelled at her for being stupid, and two had congratulated her on being so conscientious. She tried to hang on to those good feelings as she looked at her to-do list. There were new T-shirt designs to email to Misty, a handful of website updates, a meeting with the city manager to discuss more work. Kathy, the evil party planner, had been bugging her for a while, but Harper was going to ignore her messages, at least for now. Paula, the good party planner, had hired her to create a custom pin-the-curls-on-the-beautiful 6-year-old game, which was both sweet and creepy. There was the usual assortment of chores for Lucas, and she had to figure out what she was going to wear when the handsome, charming private jet salesman, Blake, breezed into town in a couple of days. He was taking her out for a cocktail, something he did when he was in town. Aside from that, her day looked completely open. Maybe she should schedule a massage. At least she didn't have to walk the dogs. They were out for their daily fun time with Duane. Harper spent 5 minutes figuring out the order in which to do her work. The meeting couldn't be moved, so everything else had to fit around it. She reviewed the latest T-shirt designs one more time, then sent them to Misty before pulling up the digital picture of the little birthday girl and wondering how on earth to turn her ringlets into a game. Before she could decide, the doorbell rang. She walked to the front of the house and found Morgan on the porch. "What are you doing here?" Morgan rolled her eyes. "You owe me money. You said I could pick up my check today. Did you forget?" "Why, yes, she had," Harper thought resentfully. "What with having to redo all of Morgan's work, then fix her mistakes?" She didn't dare calculate how much money she'd lost, or she would start keening. "Let me go write it up. It will just take a second." She desperately wanted to close the door in Morgan's face and let her wait outside, but that would be rude, so Harper stepped back to allow the other woman into her living room. She raced back to her office, quickly calculated the few hours Morgan had worked, then wrote out the check. When she returned to hand it over, she said, "It's well under the legal reporting minimum, so I won't be sending you a 1099. While Harper would expense the payment, it was up to Morgan to declare it or not. Morgan waved the check. "You're making a mistake, you know, firing me. You need the help. What's the deal?" You have to do everything yourself? That's really stupid. Harper felt as if she'd stepped into some alternate universe. Are you asking for your job back? I don't know. Maybe. It wasn't awful working here. Maybe if the work was less boring, I'd be interested. For one horrible second, Harper found herself actually tempted. She was genuinely overwhelmed by what she had to get done. She couldn't seem to get her arms around all of it or get organized enough to avoid a constant scramble. Just when she managed to get her finances on track, something happened like the Great Gift Bag debacle or Morgan's screw-up, and then she tumbled into the abyss again. Having someone to help could change everything. She could take on bigger projects and leave the small stuff to her assistant. Yes, there would be an awkward transition, but once that was over... No! Harper heard the voice scream in her head and knew she had to listen. She did need help, but not the Morgan kind. I only have boring work, she forced herself to say, as calmly as she could. Morgan sighed. I guess I could do that. Harper realized she was in no way trained to hire and fire. She didn't know how to do it. Texting had been so much easier than this face-to-face crap, yet she couldn't possibly hire Morgan back. No, you couldn't, Harper said as firmly as she could. You barely got through a quarter of the invoices when you should have finished all of them. Worse, nearly every invoice you entered had a mistake. The amount, the customer's name, the service, all wrong. I lost that account because of you. I was fired, Morgan, and I was counting on that income. To make things right with the client, I had to go back through all your work, call each client, and explain what had gone wrong. Next month, I'll be doing the client's billing for free, as my way of apologizing for your screw-up. So, as much as I'd like to say, sure, welcome back, I simply can't afford to have you work for me. They stared at each other. Harper wondered if she was as wide-eyed as she felt. She'd only meant to say thanks but no thanks, but the rest of it had spilled out. She felt lighter somehow, relieved and more than a little smug, right up until Morgan's cheeks flushed and her mouth curled back in what could easily be described as a snarl. You are a total bitch. My God, why didn't I see that before? No wonder you can't get someone to work for you. You can forget it, lady. I wouldn't work for you ever, no matter how much you beg. Go to hell. You hear me? With that, she turned on her heel and stomped out the door. Harper stood in the center of the living room, trying to ignore the sudden shaking that swept through her. That had been five kinds of awful. She really had to get better at dealing with people. I told you and told you. Starting your own business was a mistake. Harper spun and saw Bunny standing at the kitchen door. Her mother shook her head. Family is your first priority, Harper. Take care of your husband and your daughter. But you wouldn't listen, and now look at where you are. Anger and frustration joined the trembling. You're not helping, Mom, she said, as she pushed past her and headed for the coffee pot. I'm going to ask you not to lecture me right now. I can't deal with it. I have a lot to do today, and I need to focus. Becca should be your focus. Harper slammed her mug on the counter and faced her mother. As always, Bunny was perfectly dressed, with flattering makeup and coordinated jewelry. Harper had yet to shower, something else she would have to squeeze in before her meeting. This is how I pay the bills, Harper said, trying not to grind her teeth. It couldn't be good for her, and she honestly couldn't afford any dental work right now. This isn't some feel-good movie where I win the lottery and all our problems are solved. This is real life. I am thinking about my family when I work. I really need you to understand that. And if you can't, at least stop lecturing me. Bunny's eyes filled with tears. I can't believe how you're talking to me. I'm your mother. You apologize right now. She planted her hands on her hips, as if she were prepared to wait forever. Harper couldn't figure out how her entire life had gone to hell so quickly. I'm sorry if your feelings are hurt, she began, but I won't apologize for how I feel. You're not supporting me, Mom. Telling me I'm doing everything wrong doesn't help. The tears spilled over. You are a horrible daughter, her mother said, then pressed a hand to her mouth and hurried out the back door. Harper closed her eyes and told herself when she opened them, everything would be better. Seconds later, she discovered she'd been wrong. Everything was still the same.
her list, the drama with her mother. She knew the drill. Bunny would sulk for several days. Then they would have a meaningless conversation designed to smooth things over. It was what they did. For whatever reason, Bunny couldn't accept Harper's situation and refused to believe that a job was required to provide income. Maybe it was because her mother had never held a job in her life. Maybe it was generational. Maybe the powers that be simply found her life to be an endless source of amusement. The doorbell rang. Again. Harper marched to the front door, prepared to do battle with whomever was there to screw with her. She'd taken all she could take for a single day. She was hungry. She was tired. And she hadn't had nearly enough coffee that morning. She pulled open the door. What? The teenage boy on her porch jumped back. His eyes widened, and he looked terrified.
Mrs. Zemanski?
Yes?
I'm, here to, clean up your yard?
The sentence was more question than statement. Harper looked more closely at the kid, then dropped her gaze to his T-shirt, which advertised a dog poop scooper service. You poop, we scoop. All her anger, frustration, fear, and uncertainty faded, leaving her feeling weak and just a little like crying. You're going to clean up the dog poop? She asked, her voice trembling. Really?
The kid looked more scared. Yes? Every week?
Lucas, she thought with gratitude. The man was incredible. He might have an affinity for 20-somethings, but the man had hired someone to scoop dog poop. What could be better than that? What's your name? She asked.
Brandon?
She smiled. I'm sorry I snapped at you, Brandon. I just had a fight with my mom. The kid relaxed.
Oh, those are the worst.
Tell me about it. Becca sat on the front porch, waiting. She'd left Jazz inside with Thor. Once she got her license, she would take her dog with her, but not during a lesson. She was both excited and nervous. Lucas had said he would be over at 4, but what if something came up at work? She knew his hours varied. If he was in the middle of a case, he would be late, or if he didn't want to bother, like her dad. Thinking about her dad made her uncomfortable, and then weirdly, she remembered what had happened with Nathan, which made her stomach hurt. She didn't want to think about that, so she thought about Ashton, who had texted her that morning. Just a quick hello, but still. It was nice. He was nice. She couldn't believe how easy things had been between them, and hoped he'd liked her, too. Although, why would he? He was this cool, good-looking guy who was going to college, and she was just some dumb girl who... Lucas pulled up in his Mercedes. Becca jumped to her feet and danced toward him. You came!
Hey, kid. I said I'd be here.
He nodded at the car in the driveway.
I heard about your new wheels.
Isn't she beautiful? I love the color. I'm thinking I'm going to have to give her a name, but I can't think of one I really like. Plus, I don't know if it's silly or not.
If you want it, then it's not silly.
He reached into his pocket and handed her a bottle of nail polish.
For Jazz.
What? She studied the label, then started to laugh. The polish was fire hydrant red. OMG. Do you think she'll let me paint her nails? That would be the best. Thanks, Lucas. I love it. She put the polish in her bag, then hurried to her car. I can't wait to go driving. Mom's super busy. She took me out for an hour, but that's it. I'm still not comfortable driving my car, but I know I'll get better with practice. She opened the driver's side door and got into the seat. Instead of joining her on the passenger side, Lucas strolled over and looked at her.
Not so fast.
What?
First, we're going to talk about the car.
What about it?
What kind is it?
Becca had no idea what he meant. It's a blue Toyota Corolla.
What year?
Her stomach sank like it did when there was a pop quiz in history. I don't know.
How many miles does it have on it?
She stared at him.
How often does it need an oil change? What is an oil change? What's the right pressure for the tires? How do you know how much tread you have left on your tires? Is the car front wheel or rear wheel drive? What does that mean? Does this car drive okay in the rain?
The sick feeling grew. Becca told herself there was no way she was going to cry. This was Lucas. He wasn't trying to hurt her. He was making a point, one she should probably listen to. You're saying I have a car now and I need to know something about it. If it's my car, it's my responsibility.
Bingo.
She smiled. You know, only old people say bingo.
I'm down with that.
She laughed. You're right. I wasn't thinking. A car is a big deal. She might not know anything about tire pressure, but she'd looked in the glove compartment and knew there was a manual. I'll study up for our next lesson.
That's my girl,
he said, and closed her door. They drove around the city for nearly an hour. Lucas had her practice on narrow residential streets, as well as on the busy Pacific Coast Highway. He didn't make her go on the freeway, but she had to make three left turns, two without an arrow. They drove to his place where he set up the trash can and recycling can along the curb. Becca stared at the tiny space in between. I can't fit in there.
It's at least double the length of your car. This is just the starting point, kid. Next time the cans will be closer together.
He tapped the trash can.
Bumper of the car in front.
He pointed to the recycling can.
Bumper of the car behind. The goal is to not hit either one.
I'm going to throw up.
The lawn is over there.
He got behind the wheel and showed her how to line up with the car in front, then turned the wheel sharply to the left.
When you start to crank the steering wheel, make sure that part of the door is lined up with the rear bumper. See what I'm doing?
She looked out the passenger window and nodded. Yeah, I do. Oh, I get it. The car will go back, and then you just have to straighten it out. She turned back to him. It looks easy when you describe it, but I have a feeling it won't be so easy when I do it.
Maybe not the first time, but you'll get it.
She practiced pulling in and out. The third time she totally ran into the recycling can, which was humiliating. But Lucas didn't even laugh. After a few more tries, they put the cans where they belonged and started back to her house. They were nearly there when Becca impulsively pulled over by the elementary school. The kids were long gone, and the street was quiet. She looked at Lucas. I need to ask you a question, she said. He shifted so he was leaning against the passenger door.
Shoot.
But you can't tell. I mean that. Not even my mom. His green eyes narrowed.
That's a big thing to ask.
I know, she bit her lower lip. I'm not in trouble, and I didn't break the law. I just don't know what to do about something that happened, and you're the only one I can ask.
I promise not to tell anyone, he said, then swore softly. Which I suspect I'm going to regret. Talk.
She drew in a breath. Jordan has a new boyfriend. His name is Nathan. They've been going out for a while, and over spring break, they did it. She spoke quickly, talking about how Jordan always went on and on, saying Nathan loved her and blah, blah, blah. She stared at the steering wheel as she haltingly explained what had happened at Jordan's house. I didn't know what to do, she said, swallowing against the tightness in her throat. I wasn't scared. I mean, I was, but I didn't think he was going to hurt me or anything. It was just gross and icky, and I don't want him to do that again. Plus, how can Jordan be with him, and why does he tell her he loves her when he doesn't? Is it because he's mean, or is it sex? What is it with men and sex? My dad, you, Nathan? I don't understand.
What's his last name?
Lucas asked. Becca was so startled, she nearly blurted it out. Why?
I'm going to find him and arrange to have him killed.
She stared at him. You're kidding, right? His face was a mask. She had no idea what he was thinking. Maybe he wasn't kidding.
I can't decide.
He sucked in a breath and looked at her.
Let's be clear. Nathan's a total asshole. He's the kind of person who uses others to get what he wants, and he doesn't care who gets hurt. You did nothing wrong. Later, I'm going to show you how to nail a guy in the nuts, so if he ever tries anything, you can get away.
She felt herself flush. I guess I need to know that, huh?
I'm sorry, Becca. You shouldn't have to go through anything like that. For what it's worth, I think you should talk to your mom.
No way. She wouldn't understand. Besides, she's way too busy for me. It had been like that for a while now. Before the divorce, her mom always had time for her, but not anymore. The business came first. Lucas muttered something under his breath.
You're going to make me have this conversation then, aren't you?
What conversation? He rubbed his face with his hands, then shook his head.
Honestly, I'd rather be shot again. Okay, here goes. Don't have sex with anyone until you know it's the right thing for you. Only you. I know everyone is doing it and it seems cool, but it's not. Your first time is going to change you and you can't undo it. Boys are desperate to get laid, and they will say or do anything to get into your pants. Wait until you're sure. Then wait some more.
She felt herself flushing. Oh, my God. This was so much worse than the awkward where babies come from conversation she'd had with her mom.
Okay, maybe not that bad, because Lucas was obviously suffering, and that was a little bit fun. Plus, she knew he cared about her.
You're saying wait until I'm in love.
Exactly.
But you have sex with lots of women, and you're not in love with any of them.
He closed his eyes and groaned.
Kill me now.
You know, Lucas, those women you date are only a few years older than me. That's not right.
He opened his eyes and glared at her.
We're not talking about me.
I'm just saying. They're somebody's daughter, too. Why don't you have to be in love, or why don't they have to be in love?
It's different. They're experienced. You're...
His expression softened.
Becca, you're right where you should be. You're smart and funny, and you have so much to offer. Don't sell yourself short. Don't let some little shit take anything from you. You deserve to be as much as you can, and guys like Nathan only want to make you less.
Tears burned in her eyes. She blinked them away.
Thank you, she whispered, wanting him to know how much that meant.
You're welcome. What's your plan when it comes to Nathan?
The question was unexpected, but as she thought about it, she realized Lucas was right. She needed to have an idea of how to deal with him. Jordan was her friend, and where she went, Nathan was sure to follow.
I won't be alone with him, she began, ever. I'll keep my distance.
Are you really going to teach me how to kick him in the balls?
You know it.
Then if I get scared, I'll do that.
Are you going to tell Jordan what happened?
What? No. She would never believe me. She'd say I was jealous.
And then she wouldn't have any friends.
I can't.
Okay.
She glared at him. I know what you're thinking. You want me to tell her because if she was really my friend, she should know what her boyfriend is doing behind her back.
Only it's not that simple.
He held up both hands.
You're doing all the talking here, kid.
She sighed. Why did you have to bring that up? Now I'll be wondering what to do for, like, weeks.
Yeah, I can be a real pain. He winked. How are your grades?
She grabbed the steering wheel with both hands and screamed.
Don't you think you've tortured me enough today?
He didn't say anything.
Fine, she told him. I'm working on them.
Work harder. Ready to go home?
She sagged back in her seat.
Sure.
As she started the car, she realized she wasn't as upset with Lucas as she pretended. In fact, she wasn't mad at him at all. He'd been there for her. He'd listened and given her good advice, except for telling Jordan about Nathan, and he made her feel like he was on her side. She liked that. She checked the road before pulling out and starting toward the stop sign. If only it were like this with her dad. If only he would listen and show up when he said. But he didn't. And despite his promises, she had a bad feeling he was never going to change.
Chapter 12
Harper would normally have gone to her mother for fashion advice and a jewelry loan, but as they weren't speaking, that wasn't possible. She was on her own as she got ready for her date for drinks with Blake. This would be the third time they had gotten together, and while she would love to believe the evenings were a high spot in his month, she had her doubts. She was his lowly virtual assistant while he was a world-traveling private jet salesman who looked like Daniel Craig and had a smile that could serve as an alternative form of energy. She studied herself in the mirror. She'd chosen a simple black faux-wrap dress with three-quarter sleeves, although the word chosen was a little strong. It wasn't as if she had 15 dresses, and hey, this one spoke to her. She had two, and Blake had seen the other one last time. She'd debated wearing her new diamond earrings, but they seemed a little fancy. So she'd put on simple gold hoops and her new peach Schlumberger bangle. The bangle from Great Aunt Cheryl reminded her to be brave. Or so she hoped. She slipped on her kitten heel pumps that she'd gotten on sale about 3 years ago and walked to the kitchen. Becca was curled up on the family room sofa, flanked by Thor and Jazz, and reading her car's owner's manual. Her daughter had taken Lucas's instructions to heart, Harper thought, both pleased and annoyed. On the bright side, at least someone could get through to Becca. On the annoying side,
It wasn't her.
Becca looked up and smiled. You look nice.
Thank you. It's my quarterly drink with Blake. I shouldn't be late, but I won't be back by dinner time. I've left food in the refrigerator, along with instructions.
Becca put down the manual. Grandma won't be over?
No, she hesitated.
It's complicated.
Her daughter studied her for a second before saying, Okay.
Stacy texted me about coming over there for dinner, so I might do that instead. I'll text you.
Harper wanted to complain that Becca should have at least pretended to ask. Only she would then be totally in the wrong. First, it wasn't as if she was going to be home herself. Second, going to Stacy's was perfectly allowed. Her sister lived only a handful of blocks away. Becca had been going over there by herself since Stacy had bought the house. Third, if Ashton was the real reason her daughter wanted to hang out with her aunt, who was Harper to stand in the way of her becoming friends with her new cousin?
Thanks, Becca.
Have fun, whatever you decide.
I will. You too, Mom.
Harper drove to Olive's, a martini bar / restaurant. It wasn't the sort of place she went very often, or ever. She'd married relatively young, and had never been the bar type before that. Still, she did her best to fake confidence as she walked in and looked around. The space was open and upscale, with only a handful of Olive-based pictures on the wall. The customers were a comfortable blend of local business types and tourists. Harper saw an empty table and headed for it, only to be stopped when Blake walked over and smiled at her. The man was good-looking, she thought, as she smiled back. Polished, tan, with blonde hair and blue eyes. She would guess his suit had a designer label, his tie was silk, and that his shoes had cost as much as her annual food budget. He was the kind of man she could imagine surprising his significant other with tickets to New York for a long weekend, where they would eat at places she read about in People magazine and stay at a fancy hotel by the park.
Harper, so nice to see you.
He lightly held her upper arm as he leaned close and kissed her on the cheek.
You look lovely. How is everything?
Good. How was your flight?
Uneventful, which is how I like them.
As he spoke, he steered her toward a small table by the window. A server appeared, as if he'd been waiting for them.
Welcome to Olive's. What looks good?
Blake ordered 12-year-old scotch, while she got a very boring glass of red wine. She wanted to be wild and order some exotic martini, but that was a lot of alcohol, and she still had to drive home. Plus, it wasn't as if she had much in the way of tolerance when it came to liquor. She almost never drank. Honestly, her life was boring even to her.
How's work?
She asked when their server left.
Busy. The King of El-Bahar just ordered a new plane. That's going to be fun.
Lots of gold leaf and pictures of himself? She asked.
Actually, he's really down to earth and his wife has excellent taste.
He winked.
The fun part for me is the unlimited budget. As a guy who works on commission, I appreciate that. Speaking of appreciation, the gift basket you put together for my mom's birthday was inspired. She loved everything. Thank you for that.
It's why I'm here, to take care of the details.
Their drinks arrived, and they touched glasses. He asked about work and life in Mischief Bay. They were 20 minutes in when she realized they had nothing in common. Absolutely nada. Was it her? Should she get out more or watch more news shows on television? Should she be reading celebrity gossip magazines so she could talk about the Kardashians? Blake, being Blake, and the consummate salesman, picked up the slack conversation-wise and kept her entertained with stories about things that had gone wrong with deliveries, and the strange things the rich and famous wanted in their private jets. 50 minutes after she'd sat down, he flagged the waiter and asked for their check.
"It's always good to see you,"
he said as he signed the credit card receipt.
"Thank you, Harper. I hope we can do this again soon."
"Sure,"
she murmured, when what she was really thinking was, why? They had no chemistry, and she had to admit that for some reason she couldn't explain, her fantasies about Blake had all fizzled. Yes, he was handsome and had a killer smile, but she wasn't disappointed to be leaving and going home, which meant she officially had no one to daydream about for the 3 minutes it took her to almost dry her hair every morning. And how sad was that? Maybe a movie star, she thought as she drove home. If he was a movie star, she wouldn't care that he was married or secretly or not so secretly a jerk. She'd always liked Matt Damon, who was involved in that water charity and seemed to really love his wife and kids.
Or she could go totally age-inappropriate and use her blow-dryer time to lust after Liam Hemsworth. Although she was about as far from sexually liberated and totally self-possessed Miley Cyrus as it was possible to get. So, maybe not. The last thing she needed was a fantasy guy who judged her. She was still working on the non-problem when she pulled into her driveway, only to have a familiar Mercedes convertible park at her curb. Lucas got out and walked toward her.
How was the date?
She wrinkled her nose. Not a date. Just a polite glass of wine with a client.
But you were with the James Bond-like Blake. I thought simply being in his presence was the stuff of dreams.
I never said any of that to you, she began, then groaned. Stop talking to my daughter when you give her driving lessons.
She's 16, Harper. Not talking isn't an option. I do my best to control the topics, otherwise we'd end up places I don't want to go.
He shuddered.
Yes, chunky heels can make a comeback, but do we have to talk about it?
She laughed. That sounds like my girl. She glanced at her watch. You just getting off work?
Yeah. We had some excitement at a bank today that took a little longer. I'll pick up Thor and get out of your way.
Do you want to stay for dinner?
Sure you don't need the alone time to relive Blake's charming conversation.
She put her hands on her hips. Hey, do I mock you about your girlfriends?
Most of the time.
Oh, right. I forgot. Okay, then I take it back. And no, I don't need any alone time. It turns out Blake and I don't have much in the way of chemistry. I need a new fantasy boyfriend.
They're making life like sex robots these days.
Don't make me regret asking you to dinner. He winked. They went inside. Harper excused herself to go change. She returned to the kitchen in jeans and a t-shirt. Her feet were bare, and she'd left on the bangle because it made her happy. Lucas sat at the kitchen table, petting his dog. Jazz lay in her bed. Harper opened the refrigerator. All right, let's check out the leftovers.
Or we could order pizza.
She turned and stared at him. Oh, my God. Seriously? Order in food? Do you know what would happen? Lucas raised his eyebrows.
The heavens would open and rain toads?
Maybe. Still, the thought was tempting. Becca would be really mad. I never let her order pizza. I make it myself, of course, but she says that's not the same.
It's not, and she doesn't have to know. The Slice is Right delivers. I'll take home the leftovers, including the box. It can be our guilty secret.
She was incredibly tempted. Guilty secrets had been noticeably absent in her life lately, and it wasn't as if she was doing anything really bad. Most people would consider delivered pizza an ordinary occurrence. Plus, Bunny was out with friends, so she wouldn't be around to judge. He pulled out his phone.
I'll let you pick the kind of pizza as long as you don't get one that's gluten-free or vegetarian.
I wouldn't do that. He looked at her. She sighed. All right. I might try to go healthy in an effort to alleviate my guilt, but I won't. They agreed on barbecue chicken with extra cheese. Lucas placed the order using an app while she set the table. She looked through her pitiful collection of wine before choosing a bottle.
I'm going to stop bringing flowers and start bringing you liquor, he muttered, as he opened the drawer containing the corkscrew.
You don't have to bring me anything.
I do if you feed me.
You already got me a guy who will scoop dog poop. That's about the best gift there is.
You're welcome.
He'd taken off his blazer and gun holster. She would guess he'd already put his weapon in the safe, as he did whenever he came directly from work. He'd rolled up his shirt sleeves to his elbows. He was good-looking in a different way than Blake. He had more edges and less polish, but there was a solidness about him that always made her feel as if he could handle whatever happened. She supposed that came from a career in law enforcement. He'd had to learn how to deal with a crisis. He was a detective now, but he must have started as a rookie and worked his way up. She fed the dogs, then joined Lucas in the family room while they waited for the pizza to arrive. How old were you when you joined the LAPD? She asked, settling on the sectional. Lucas sat in the recliner.
I was a kid, still in my 20s. I got my AA in criminal justice from Mischief Bay Community College. When I graduated, I applied and was accepted.
Did you always want to be a police officer? He looked at her.
Asking about my past.
I guess I am. You know way too much about me, and I know almost nothing about you. She raised a shoulder. Excluding your despicable taste in young women.
Despicable seems harsh.
I suppose.